Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Now, Dan Hampton, the Hall of Fame Bears defensive tackle who specialized in making opposing quarterbacks see long white tunnels of light with ghostly lost relatives saying, "Go back, it was just a sack." Ned O.B. Obradovich, the Bears legend who is picking off passes and grinding offensive linemen into powder while you are still wearing tough skins and drinking Tang. Glenn Kozlowski, the one-time Bears receiver who could catch a pass and a dive, then celebrate four rows up in the stands with the pretzel vendor. Mark Harmon, a confident, independent young man with skills in communication and teamwork. He's what? He's getting married. Well, forget that. This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN Radio.
All right, bye week has come and gone. 11 games to go. The Bears are 3-2. And we've got the Saints in town today. Hamp, OB, and Kaz, presented and sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Special pregame show for you today with you until 3 o'clock. OB, you have 7,000 newspapers in front of you, and you've been reading them and basically yelling at me.
I thought it was a homeless guy building a spot on Lower Wacker, all these newspapers blowing around in there.
Just for the
2 weeks! 2 weeks of material. Folks, we cannot wait to get you up to speed here.
I talk so much already, I'm worn out. We haven't even started the show.
For the record, I've been prepping at home this morning and getting everything ready for myself and getting organized. I walk in. It's 12:52. OB is sitting there on the couch and just starts basically accosting me. Do you know the stats on Mitchell Trubisky? Have you seen what Matt Nagy said? What do you got, OB? Go ahead.
Well, here, just... Oh, Jesus.
Well, okay. let me just kind of bring us back to home plate here. You know, folks, here's, I guess, the essence of what today means. We all know it's a big game. And a lot of people have been kind of asking me, what do you think? What do you think? And essentially, this is a must win. And we say that off and on all the time. But this game reminds me an awful lot of the 1988 season when we beat the 49ers on a Monday night here in Chicago. Now, this game is huge for the Bears. And, yeah, it's big for the Saints for a lot of reasons. Number one, before we even came in here, I was talking with a lot of people from New Orleans. And they feel like they were cheated the last couple of years in the playoffs. And they should have been in at least one, if not two, Super Bowls. But all that being said, this game can and might and probably will be a big factor in where home field advantage is going to fall during the playoffs. So, you know, we were 3-1 when we got on the plane to go to London some 13 days ago, and it didn't work out. You know, the team that we were mocking, the head coach, and the way they played the game, meaning the Oakland Raiders, came out and slapped us around. They beat us at the line of scrimmage. That's on the defensive line and the offensive line. Today, we'll talk about how they have to not only, you know, eradicate that, but improve on it. But at the end of the day, OB, this is a game that we're playing against the New Orleans Saints without their best two players on offense. And if this defense is supposed to be the all-knowing, all-being, all-consummate greatest defense of the last decade or whatever here in Chicago, they better get after it, and they better not go out and think the Saints are going to hand it to them, because I beg to differ. Everybody is kind of ready to play against the Bears defense.
Well, I'll tell you what. Again, it's where you've got the perfect setting. You can't make this stuff up. We're at home. Fans is the best of the best. You got everything. They got their top offensive players out. What are we best at? We're best at defense. right at home. Everything pointing in the right direction. You got the great Mitch Trubisky coming back. I believe he's going to start today. Do we know that yet?
Not official, but that would be a stunner if he wasn't. Okay. We're going to have Trubisky back. Right. Go ahead.
Right. Here's one of the things that seems to bother me a little bit. And this is Nagy, Coach Nagy, about Mitch Trubisky, okay, going into this game. This is what he said this week. This is about our team. This is Nagy talking about the Bears, about our team, and what we can do right now to become a true championship contender. And part of what we need to do is show Mitch some of the plays Chase Daniel throws. I mean, some of the plays Chase Daniel made the last two games. The conviction throws, the shot plays, that touchdown or check down mentality with the gusto to give our playmakers a chance to make plays. Now, I'm going to tell you what, folks. What I just read to you, you can't make up. This is Nagy. Kent Whaley gets Mitch Trubisky in the room this week to show him the film of Chase Daniel, our backup quarterback, who's played 11 years in the league and has started five games, but he wants to show Mitch how the hell to get the ball from the center, drop back, utilize the pocket, and make things happen. You got to be kidding me. I'm going to read this again later. This is stunning to me.
It is. And folks, stunning. What we're trying to emphasize here is, what the hell have the coaches been doing? The kid's been here 3 years, and now, all of a sudden, the backup quarterback actually has a modicum of success throwing the ball down the field a number of times, maybe a half a dozen times, and yet that's what Matt Nagy is trying to convince us that Trubisky needs to understand. What are they watching this film through, a peephole in a closet?
Hey, Danny.
Come on, every week he's supposed to be watching this film from daylight till dusk. And now all of a sudden the backup goes out and completes a couple of passes, and that's the secret quotient. That's the formula. And now all of a sudden Mitch is going to see it and emulate it. You can't make this up.
I got to say it again, folks. When I first read this, I tell you, you talk about almost falling out of a chair. And again, this is Matt Nagy talking about Mitch Trubisky. And this goes, says, and part of what we need to show Mitch, some of the plays Chase Daniel made the last two games, conviction throws, shot plays, that touchdown to check down mentality with the gusto to give our players a chance to make plays. What? So ever since he's been here for 3 years, he's been making plays that are not to work? Is that what the hell you've been coaching him? Is that what he's been doing? And you make a statement like this, you can't wait to get him in to show him Chase Daniel how to work in a pocket and get the players the gusto going so you can win a game? That's beyond embarrassing. That is beyond embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
The stupidity.
Well,
and this guy's the head coach, Dan.
Wait a minute. He's the reigning NFL coach of the year, and he says something like that. Okay, that's a microcosm of a lot of the issues and problems.
More to come.
Yes, that have rendered the great Bears to a 3-2 record. Now, a lot of this will go away. When we were 3-1, getting on that plane, we were – felt pretty good. Okay, we dropped the opener. We didn't play well against the Redskins or the Broncos or really Minnesota on offense, but we won. So we're 3-1. Now we're 3-2 and the sky's falling, but you really want to know how bad the sky can fall? Go out there and stumble around today and lose this game. Boy, there will be blank to pay. Now, I've kind of rendered it to a couple of simple little rhymes for you, Mark Carmen, and you and your limited football knowledge.
Whoa, Hamp.
Okay. Blocking and locking. That's what we got to think about on offense. Blocking and locking.
Okay.
The blocking is self-explanatory. The offensive line, Charles Leno. Now we got Rashad Coward going at guard because Cal Long he can't play anymore. He's on IR. We'll talk about that maybe in the second hour. But blocking has to improve in all facets. Whoever is asked to be a tight end, first and foremost, a tight end has to block somebody. Yeah, it'd be great if they'd get open and catch the ball once in a while, but we have to be able to block. The Saints, interior defensive line, is among the best in football. And we will need double teams with a tight end. We'll need different things to happen. But main thing is, come on, let's knock people around. Let's get people and move them off the line of scrimmage. We haven't done it all year. We are expected to do that on every play. And the lock-in, that is your friend, Mitchell Trubisky. He cannot lock in on one receiver and wait for that receiver to open. He's got to be immediate with his progressions. And if he does, he may be able to be very successful.
312-981-7200. If you do want to jump in on our pregame show, you're welcome to do it. Hampton will be with Kaz, sponsored by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. I want to talk on what you were just touching on right there, Ham, coming on back with the offensive
line. Locking and locking. And
Rashad Coward in specific, a 24. Yes.
Didn't he run you down, Dan, run you down a little bit?
I don't feel run down. I feel supported. Hamp is just lifting me up like he's lifting everybody up.
I'm trying to reduce it down to a simple common denominator. Two things. We got to block and we can't lock.
Listen, I assume
he went after you, Mark. You'll take it from him.
I don't
jump on his damn head.
I assume goodwill, OB, with Hamp, with you. That's how I live my life. We're all
in this
together.
That's mistake one. Well, you assume nothing, young man.
Well, hey. Until proven otherwise, I'm just, you know, we're all on the same team. That's what we do here.
No, we're not.
If you don't raise the bar, nobody's going to try to give you anything extra. You got to demand it.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Right now on WGN Radio.
Bears and the Saints kicking off at 3:25. No postgame for us tonight. Special pregame show. We got Blackhawks hockey. Hawks at home tonight, so we will not be doing the postgame
show. I got to talk to him about these scheduling conflicts with the Bears.
You want to tell the listen, first of all,
John McDonough better move him to Saturday or something.
Well, hey, if you got a direct line to John McDonough, then maybe you're more powerful than I am, Ham. But this is one of the it's a 3:25 game. We finally get a noon game at home next week, so it's been rare. Blackhawks and the Capitals tonight. But let's get back to what you were talking about here, Ham. Rashad Coward is being asked to step in for Kyle Long. Now, this is a 24-year-old former defensive lineman, okay? He's out of Old Dominion. The Bears saw some talent in him. They brought him in, and now they've switched him to offense. And he's an athletic guy. He's a big guy.
He can do it.
So, okay, but to switch from defensive line to be an offensive lineman right now in a season you're trying to win a Super Bowl?
Well, and obviously this is something that needed to be exploited and experimented with. When? Oh, in the preseason. Oh, yeah, that's right. We don't do that here anymore. Rashad Coward is a monster. He's 6'6", 320 pounds. He has a lot of athleticism. He plays with a mean streak. A lot of these things we need. We need to cultivate that and enhance that on our offensive line because we're not hitting anybody. We're catching. We are not striking blows. You know, there's a certain thing about an offensive line. They have the opportunity to use the snap count as a weapon. And on the snap of the ball, come off and hit somebody. We're not doing anything. We're catching. Go back and watch the Raider film. That was a nondescript Raider defensive line that whipped us like dogs. So hopefully for 2 weeks, we have heard it as, you know, the coaches, the media, the offensive running backs. And there has to be a sense of urgency in the offensive line for this game today. And we all know, as my mantra, blocking and locking, that is half of the equation. The other part, and OB was ranting as we went to commercial about the fact that if you were going to prosecute Nagy in a court of law, for, you know, being a fraud as a football coach, the things that he is saying in the paper would be Exhibit A, B, C, D. I mean, you can't. He's saying how great a runner Trubisky is. Wait a minute. OB, how many times have you said?
Let me tell you something.
It's a passing league.
Yeah, it's a passing league. So where's he going to run to? What are we going to do? He ran. He got hurt. It's a passing league. You're going to take Trubisky over Aaron Rodgers. You're going to take Trubisky over Deshaun Watson. You're going to take Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. I could go on and on and on. And again, I'm going to go back to my opening statement. I cannot believe that this coach couldn't wait to get Trubisky into the room so he could show him films of Chase Daniel, our backup quarterback, how to throw a football, how to get a team set and come up there and get the energy to go win a game. Folks, In 100 years, you couldn't come up with this. This is unbelievable. And this guy's our head coach.
Yeah, but he didn't draft him, and this is the skill set that he's got, right? So this is one thing that Mitchell Trubisky can do. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's just not good enough to do it. So he's trying to use what he has, right?
There's two guys out there that are Aaron Rodgers that they passed up on, okay?
Yeah.
But that's water under the bridge now, unfortunately for us, OB. But ultimately,
it's still a fact, Dan.
Right. But here's I guess this is why OB is being incredulous about these statements. Matt Nagy has been the coach of this guy for 2 years now. And now, all of a sudden, October of the second year, he's basically admitting the kid has a hard time figuring out how to play the game. We're going to show him film of the backup doing, you know, somewhat okay on occasion. You know, obviously he wasn't that great against the Raiders. We didn't win. Wasn't enough. And it wasn't his fault. But sooner or later, we've got to be able to expect this kid to at least play mediocre football. And it sounds to me like Nagy's worrying now.
Today's Happen OB and Kaz show is brought to you in part by the Mueller Auto Group PPG Paints, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Coming up after the 1:30 news, we will check in with the Kaz man, Glenn Kozlowski at 1:30, Adam Hoke from Soldier Field at 2:10, and Jeff Vukovich is back in our WGN huddle, the straight shooter who knows insurance. He's on our side. He'd love to help you.
He runs over lizards. He doesn't use them.
Nationwide is on Vuk's side and your side. Check out jeffvuk.com. Nationwide is on your side. News next, and then the Kaz man, Glenn Kozlowski. Hampton will be till 3 on 720 WGN.
Man up about it!
Hey, put the ether can down for a second.
It's the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz. And it's brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN Radio.
Hampton OB and Kaz taking you up to 3 o'clock today. Bears and the Saints kicking off at 3:25. If you're wondering what's going on in the NFL right now, Minnesota is leading the Lions 21-14. Detroit's going to probably get a field goal here, though, before the half. And Marvin Jones Jr., one of their wide receivers, just dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone. So this game should have been tied. And by the way, the Detroit Lions got completely, let's see, what's the word? I would say screwed in the game against Green Bay. The officiating just killed them. So that was a huge benefit to the Packers. By the way, Green Bay's playing another game at home today. They got a tough schedule coming up. So don't put it in ink that Green Bay's winning this division.
Which only emphasizes the importance of our offense and defense playing great football today. Take care of business. I mean, it's hard to win a game in this league anymore. We gave two of them away. That should be enough.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Bears have a great chance today. When you take a team, I mean, where are we strong? Obviously, our defense. I mean, we can cover good, we can pass, we can blitz, we play man-man, we play zone, we play everything above average defensively. Okay, we're going into the game today at home. Again, at home, the number one of the top, again, three quarterbacks is out, one of the top three running backs is out, one of the top three tight ends, and they all happen to play for the New Orleans Saints. Guys, the Bears, this coaching staff, these players, you guys got to take advantage of this, because what's coming, there's some heavy clouds and storms coming our way. The Rams, we got to play at Minnesota, we got to play at Green Bay, we got to play Kansas City. So this is a game that we could take. This is a game that we can win. And I know they a lot of weapons they have out on offense. That's good for us. Guys, don't give up on this game. Take it right from the get-go. Go out there and pound the Saints into the ground. Just for one time, go out there and be physical. Not like 2 weeks ago where the other team was physical. Take that mantra and take it right to the Saints and run it right down their throats. Win the damn game up front. Can you do it? Yes, you can. You got to be mentally prepared today and get it done.
If at first you don't succeed, try again. Matthew Stafford back to Marvin Jones for a touchdown. So the Lions and the Vikings going to be tied up at 21 going into the half. Let's bring in the Kaz man, Glenn Kozlowski, to his own show. Kazi, welcome to Bears Saints Week. We got Week 7, and the Bears obviously need a win. What's the Glenn Kozlowski keys to the game? Now, hang on a second there, Kazer. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you straight up,
yes,
the Bears are going to win today. The Saints have been, they've been playing and they've gotten away with not having a Hall of Fame quarterback out on the field, and they've gotten away with it a little bit because of who they were playing. They're running up against a great defense that is going to get after them today. They don't have their best running back, as Ed pointed out. They don't have their best tight end. And we have flat out, the reason, Bridgewater hurt his knee, but truly, he was a disaster against the Bears the years that he was up in Minnesota. So this is a team we can beat. They just got to show up and beat them. And, offensively, guys, let's talk about it, whether Mitch comes back tonight or today or not. He's a quarterback rating of 31.3. I don't know that I blame him. I don't know that I blame Daniels. I just think that we've got to do things differently, and I don't know what you guys have talked about, but that's how I see it. And honestly, Ed, it was great to hear you say, because it's week-to-week football in the NFL. Pound the ball, cram it right down the Saints' throats. They're not, they're okay. They're more of a pass-rushing team than they are a run-stopping team. So here's our opportunity to run the ball and give it to them and take care of business. And I do believe the Bears will win today.
Absolutely.
Call me crazy, but I think they will.
Glenn, this game again, when you saw a couple weeks ago, that game was won and lost up front. Now it's our turn, okay? They're really hurting on offense. Again, when you have this opportunity to take a win, to get a win like this,
because
there's only 16 games, and you can't let this slip by. There are no excuses. And up front, our offensive line, for once, will you guys show up and start pounding people like you're capable of doing? Defensively, you guys got to pick it up from a couple weeks ago. And this is a team that we can take it down. We need this win. And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be won on fluke plays, I don't believe. This game is going to be won up front. Which offensive line shows up, which defensive line shows up, and gets it done.
Couple things with go ahead, Kaz.
I was going to say this, too. The Bears are going to – I look at this game, I every time I look at it, everybody says, oh, go with the Saints. I'm telling you, the Bears match up perfectly, and it's exactly what they have done over the last few years. You know, when you write them off, this is when they show up and they strike you, and you think they're a Super Bowl contender and they're the best team in the league. Right now, everybody's saying the Saints are the best NFC team. Here's a chance for the Bears to prove they're not. And you know what? That's exactly the kind of motivation they need. You know what? Am I concerned about some of the injuries on defense, especially on the line? Of course. But now it's Khalil Mack's turn to step up and really create havoc. And some of these young guys have really picked up Dan up front and have really gotten after, the quarterbacks on other teams.
Well, and we expect not only Eddie Goldman to be very, very active today, but, Nick Williams, Bela Nichols is back. His hand, he's had that issue for almost a month now, and there's a way, you adapt, you acclimate to different conditions as a defensive lineman. If you can't use it, then you got to do other types of techniques. But Roy Robertson Harrison, yeah, he's got to be a big factor. But let me just throw a couple of things at you, because, the two offensive tackles for the Saints are top tier. We need our two that are being paid like top tier offensive tackles. Talking about Charles Leno, the second most penalized offensive lineman in football. But more importantly today, Bobby Massey, the right tackle, he will be drawing the best player, I think, on the Saint defense, and that's Cam Jordan, their defensive end, who's been a Pro Bowler the last 3 years. So, as OB has been pounding the table, this is a game our offense and defensive line has to assert and win the battle at the line. Just like we saw the Raiders. The Raiders were an inferior team. But guess what? If the Lions win, that's the great equalizer. But beyond that, you have a little bit of an insight about one of the dimensions the Saint offense, I think, will use an awful lot today. And I'm talking about the fact that Teddy Bridgewater will be the starting quarterback, but up and down the fields, and especially down in the red zone, Sean Payton brings in Taysom Hill, a wildcat type of a quarterback that played at BYU, your alma mater. And let me just say this. Everybody thinks he's just a runner. Against Tampa Bay, he threw a pass for an 18-yard completion at the 35 to get him down inside the red zone. So what do we have to do to keep this kid from being a dominant factor of the Saints offense?
Well, I think it starts up front with getting pressure on Bridgewater because he's willing to throw it up for grabs. Thomas is the only guy that they have right now that is truly a viable receiver. You know, it works with your running back, your tight end, and Thomas. But now that the two of them are gone, it's going to be very difficult. Now, what do you got to do with Hill? You got to put a hat on him at all times. Great athlete. Really, actually, a really good quarterback, even though I think Sean Payton really likes this guy being a hybrid so he could do multiple things with him. And he knows Drew Brees is coming back. But I think the day Drew Brees retires, unless there's another Mahomes or Watson out there, this is the next starting quarterback for the Saints. Now, why isn't he starting now? Because I think Peyton's smart enough to understand, hey, let's use our best athletes in multiple positions and give them a chance to win. So that's the reason they're 5-1. They really do play good defense. I mean, let's give their defense a lot of credit. You talked about Jordan. You know, they're going to have to chip, and this is where I get concerned. Can Matt Nagy create a game plan and make adjustments at halftime that will allow this offense to do just enough to beat the Saints? Because that's all you have to do. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to beat them by 30. You just got to do enough to win. And I don't know that answer. And Ed and Dan, I'm not sure that he can, but I sure hope he can.
Couple of numbers on the Saints. First of all, they have not allowed a 100-yard rusher all season long. The Bears are seventh from the bottom running the football, 80 yards per game. So you do have the Rashad Coward coming in for Kyle Long, and I think you just clearly, you guys are talking about getting manhandled. When you're playing 4-on-5, which is really what they were doing, Kyle Long can't play, physically unable to do it. So I think that hopefully will look a whole lot different here when you have an able body guard, even though he doesn't have any experience. Maybe that looks a little bit different. But that same defense, again, they have not allowed a 100-yard rusher all season long.
Mark, what happened, again, 2 weeks ago, that game is so, I mean, it was right in front of you. That was so one up front. It was offensive line, defensive line on both sides. That's where that game was won and lost, right up front. Now we have a chance. Because of their injuries, we have a chance, basically, to shut this team down. And I'm telling you, defensively, you guys, you stop taking these breaks, get in the game, stay in the game, suck it up, give it everything you have every moment you're out there, and win this football game. Start playing hard-nosed, tough, bear football. And offensively, guys, go after people. And your linemen, just go after the Saints. Knock them all over the place. Show them from the get-go. Don't wait till the second quarter till you make adjustments at halftime. Show up right from the get-go and take care of the game up front. You take care of this game up front, the Saints will beat them. And I like the Bears, and I think the Bears will beat them. But, boy, I'll tell you what, they better show up and start knocking some people around because we, the ones, have been getting knocked around.
312-981-7200. We want to jump on in here. Kaz is going to stick with us till the top of the hour. Adam Holmgren, Soldier Field at that point. Let's talk about this Bears passing game and what we can expect coming back. There's one person we have not, well, there's a lot of people we haven't mentioned, but I want to talk about Taylor Gabriel a little bit with you guys coming back here, who's back from concussion and perhaps a different wide receiver to complement our offensive Allen Robinson.
Well, of all the facets of the Saint defense, the slot receivers have hurt them the most. That is Taylor Gabriel, and hopefully he will be a factor today.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
I wish I would have grown up in this era where you know fail miserably and everybody gives you a fist pump.
Best Bears coverage. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz right now. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN Radio.
What are you saying, OB?
I'm just going to say, if, which I hope they don't, hope things go good from the get-go, because they got to come out, they got to jump start it, they got to get all over them right now, be aggressive as hell. But if they don't become aggressive in the second half, what I love to see, if you're going to pass the ball, in the second half and we're behind or whatever, you want to know, throw caution to win. Throw the ball down the field. Just throw it down the field, Nagy.
Should OB not be holding his breath on that one? Kazi?
Of course he should be. I mean, you still got to protect up front. Here's the thing about it. You know, we got beat up front against the Raiders 2 weeks ago, but all we had to do is play solid special teams, and we win the game. So in spite of all of those things, the Bears still put themselves in a position to win. We didn't play solid special teams. We roughed the punter. We give him a redo, and then they run a fake punt on us, which everybody in the world knew a fake punt was coming, and we couldn't cover it. So saying all that, Ed's right. You know, you got to throw the ball down the field, but you got to be able to throw the ball down the field. You got to protect the quarterback, and you got to be able to protect him, especially for the Bears, by running the football. Play action allows you to get those longer chances down the field, Dan, as you know. I mean, if they're not real successful, think about it. Both of you are D linemen. If they keep pounding the ball at you and they're not doing a great job, but they keep doing it and then they fake it and step back, doesn't he have a little more time to throw it down the field?
Glenn, let me say this. What you know, it's like from week to week, they drop, and I'm talking about Trubisky and the offensive coordinator. I don't know if it's Nagy or who the hell it is over there anymore. I don't know. For 1 week, it's this, it's that. For all I know, Chase Daniels, the offensive coordinator. But
he's better, by the way, than Mitch right now. But let's move on.
Okay.
Statistically, I'm saying. That's all.
But there's no question. The running game is a great deodorant. It not only protects the quarterback, but it enhances his ability to have time to find receivers, right. which is the $64,000 puzzle about Trubisky. He can't read, but when he does find out where to throw it and makes a decision, a lot of times he's not accurate enough to make defenses pay for it. And the being erratic with his accuracy only creates more consternation. But back to the whole thing. OB has always been very adamant about stretching the field, getting the ball down the field.
And moving the pocket. Pocket.
Of course that would help. But for whatever reason, now with the so-called shoulder situation, when you get out on the edge, there's always going to be some late pressure coming up. I just saw Matthew Stafford get a roughing the passer call when he rolled out to his left and a linebacker, whacked him.
Just drilled him.
But as far as stretching the field, we need Taylor Gabriel to be able, out of the slot, to stretch, to keep safeties off, to create room for the running game. All these things work hand in hand. We have never had a game plan this season. Last year, on a couple of occasions, we all stood back at the end of the first half and said, wow, what a game plan. This was great. Not once in the first five games have we said, what the hell are they doing? That's what we're saying.
What is this, week seven?
Right.
Week seven, we're talking about throwing the ball down, stretching the field, moving the pocket, doing this. Glenn, for heaven's sakes, and you listeners out there, shouldn't we have been doing this from day one, the first league game? We still haven't figured out how to use Trubisky. We don't get him out of the pocket. The kid gets smothered. He can't find his second or third receivers. This is all stuff. When that opening game came, that's what we should have done. That's what we should have learned. And that's how we should have become aggressive and be a good offensive team. And we're not, because we never did anything.
Right. And they still want to make him something he's not. And that's really the big
Glenn, how about moving
had.
The kid out of the pocket?
No, I agree. I agree 100%. But they want him to be the second pick in the NFL draft. He's not that guy. But he is pretty good if you move him on the run, if you do things with him where he has some space, and you really what you're saying, Ed, is shrink the field in half. He can't make five reads right now.
No, he can't.
He might be able to make three reads, right? Or maybe two reads. And when you move him out of the pocket, it cuts the field in half. He could run, throw, And there's two reads. There's a safety. There's a corner. I mean, there's only a few guys he has to read, and then he throws the ball. And what you're saying is right. The problem is, you know, you get caught up in the NFL systems, and Matt Nagy comes from Andy Reid's system, and it's a lot like BYU, where you do a lot of picks and all these other things and crossing routes, and that's where Dan's coming in. You know, with the slot receiver, if he could get into those 12 to 18 yard in routes and hit them there, it opens everything up. I mean, everything opens up once you can start hitting it in there, because now those safeties have to cheat up and try to take that away. Linebackers aren't willing to come up and contest the run anymore because they're hitting them in those 12 to 18 yard windows, and that's where a slot receiver really helps this offense that Matt Nagy is running open up everything else. But you're right, Ed. If you've got a quarterback that is really not able to make five reads, then you've got to shrink the field in half and you got to move him, because that is really what he does well. He's good on the run. He actually throws better on the run most of the time, let's be honest. And he's a better runner when he's on the run and moving and creating some things. So, you know, take his athletic ability. He still is just, what, a senior in at college now?
Cos, say goodbye. Love you. Appreciate
it. See you guys. Bye.
See you. Quick timeout. Adam Oak from Soldier Field next, 720 WGN.
This is the Hampton OB Show with Cos, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hampton OB with Cos on 720 WGN. Thanks to our friends at Bartolini's Restaurant Catering and Banquets, family owned and operated, the best Italian cuisine in Chicagoland. You can call them at 708-396-2333. They're located at 144th and Pulaski in Midlothian. Out to Soldier Field we go. Adam Hoge, the best Bears reporter in the damn land, is with us on 720 WGN. I loved OB. Hey, buddy. How you doing over there? You all right?
Did you guys hear me?
Yes. I heard something. I know you had a...
Okay. Well, you didn't hear all what I said, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good. No, we didn't hear exactly. Adam, it's official. Mitchell Trubisky is going to start today, correct?
That is correct. He is active. He's ready to go. And we're just going to have to see, how that non-throwing shoulder affects him, if at all. But also, probably more importantly, just what he looks like, considering he wasn't playing all that well before he got hurt, and it's been a few weeks since we've seen him.
So I spent my week reading everything I could possibly read about the Bears, and there was nothing that I read that was better than Adam Hoge's 10 Bear Things at WGNRadio.com. So if you got a little time while you're listening to the show, getting ready for the game today, go over there and check it out. Your depth piece number two on J.P. Holtz, our seventh tight end, was one of the more fascinating reads how the Bears just, I guess, were eyeing him in Washington and picked him up out of nowhere. And now this seems like a key guy going forward that maybe people aren't talking about, Adam Hoge.
Hey, Adam, just one second before you start, I just want to throw something in there. I think the key thing the Bears should do is shoot. We got seven tight ends now. Let's shoot for double digits. Let's get 10 in here. Let's get 10 tight ends in here.
How many of the tight ends can you name, Obi, not to put you on the spot?
None.
Camp, how many can you name? Seriously.
I can name all seven.
Can you really?
But I don't want all seven. I don't want any of the seven.
You can't name all seven.
Oh, Trey Burton.
That's one.
Holtz.
That's two.
Brunacher.
That's three.
Bradley Soul.
That's four.
Let's see.
Another one's easy. It was a second-round pick.
Never mind. You're not probably giving him help.
Shaheen.
That's five. Now the next
that's
two.
Pink. That's too many. That's the point.
Paul, you got two more to go.
Dax Raymond, you're not naming, I don't think you're naming.
Right, you owe me $100.
Jesper Horsted, am I right that's the seventh tight end, Adam?
Yeah, how could you forget the pride of Princeton, the Tigers, the Ivy League? Come on, guys. Look, even I had to look at my sheet there to make sure you guys were getting all of those correct. Okay, let's get back to J.P. Holtz, and the reason why I wrote about him is not because he's one of the seven tight ends the Bears have, but because everyone's talked about how they ignored the tight end position in the offseason, and certainly that's essentially true. But another position they ignored was fullback. Remember, last year they had a fullback in Michael Burton, And this year, they basically went into the season without a fullback and said, hey, we're going to use these tight ends. We're going to line them up sometimes as a fullback and hope they can get the job done. And I think that they realized very early on in the preseason and even week one against the Packers that they sort of had a problem here with their running game. And that's what I'm getting at. I spent the bye week trying to figure out how they get the running game going, which is why I ended up writing about J.P. Holtz, who, even though he's listed as one of these seven tight ends the Bears have, he's really the fullback, and they brought him in from Washington. They claimed him off of waivers because even though he hadn't played a game in four seasons until week one of this season with the Washington Redskins, he was really a fullback for them. He was a fullback for the Browns when he was on the Browns practice squad. So they said, hey, look, here's maybe a guy who's going to help us. And the only thing I was trying to do was highlight, look, maybe more usage of the fullback, maybe lining up in some heavier formations, some more old-school type of football in the running game could help them get something going. And I'm interested to see what it looks like today against the Saints.
Hample, can that work?
Well, it has to help. And, again, the overarching problem with the running game is we're not controlling the line of scrimmage. So a fullback is another hat that's able to, you can put it on a linebacker or safety, help on double teams, do different things. But essentially you try to get the running game going. And if you have to, here's the other part about it. You know, this offense looks lethargic when we run the ball out of the shotgun. But when you have a fullback, then obviously that you are in a conventional offensive set with the quarterback under center, which allows everyone to basically say, okay, here we come. But if you get that running game going with a fullback, then the exponential abilities of a play action part of the offense becomes a reality. So I'm all for it. And you know what? What they were doing didn't work, and I don't know if it will work. Try something new. Try something different.
Yeah, get the quarterback out of the pocket.
And, Obi, you're asking who's going to run the ball.
Yeah, my question to you guys is, who are you going to give the ball? Who's going to run the ball?
Well,
Nagy thinks, the coaching staff thinks that Tariq Cohen, we start out in the ace backfield, the 170-pound wizard.
He's averaging 2.2 yards per carry, Obi. Come on.
Well, let me tell you something. Obviously, he's in the wrong position. He should be as a wideout or in the flankers, basically a slot back. That guy should be in motion every play, stronger weak side. The guy's a threat passing. Why the hell we don't use him like that, I have no idea.
Adam, what do you think the keys are today?
Well, let's get back to the line of scrimmage with Hamp was just talking about. That's where they lost the game against the Raiders. We talked about it when I was in London a couple weeks ago, and that's a big key. And you know, they made two big key changes in the roster since then on the line of scrimmage. Kyle Long's out, which he should have been. He was clearly struggling, so I'm hoping to see. I think we're going to see Rashad Coward. It's not been confirmed. Ted Larson is active today, guys. That's some pregame news. So maybe they go with the veteran. I would go with the younger guy and try to look for a longer term solution. But either way, I think that's an upgrade there on the offensive line. And then on the defensive line, look, Akeem Hicks, losing him, that's a big deal. I think they're just hoping that by the time he's able to return later in the season, he's healthier than he even was earlier when he was playing through a knee issue. But that's another key in this game. I mean, the defense needs to get back to looking like the defense that they were before London when they clearly had some struggles and just weren't as sharp. I think they can still do that without Akeem Hicks, but they do have to have some younger guys step up there in his place.
A lot of conversation this week about Leonard Floyd, who looked phenomenal in week one, but we haven't seen much of him since. And it was interesting that people are saying that Leonard apparently is getting in his head and perhaps losing some confidence. What do you think about that narrative, Adam?
Well, I actually thought he looked good the first 3 weeks. Now, the numbers weren't really there like they were in week one. He seems to only put up big numbers against the Packers, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But the guy's got to be more consistent. He's had two quieter games. The last two games were not very good for Leonard Floyd. And that's the thing. I mean, he doesn't need to be Khalil Mack, but he needs to be a consistent number two rusher for this team. He needs to complement Khalil Mack. When the Raiders are sending three guys at number 52 and they're chipping them and then they're running the fullback at them and they're doing all these different things that the Raiders did so well a couple weeks ago, well, when that's going on, the guy on the other side needs to get the job done when he's in one-on-one matchups. And so I think that's where this criticism has come from. He's in his fourth year. When there's games like that, he needs to step up, and he didn't do it in London. So there needs to be more consistency here the rest of the way, and that starts this afternoon against the Saints.
In big picture, you know, I'm of the belief that this game could very well decide home field advantage at some point during the course of the playoffs, because as you know, the Saints are going to get Drew Brees back at some point, and Alvin Kamara, who will not play today, is maybe the best all-around running back in football. So we need to capitalize right now on this moment in time. And to do that, obviously bring in our, you know, young quarterback back. There's a lot of negative projections because of the fact that his track record is anytime he has not been in a rhythm, i.e., I think he's 12-7 when he plays a game every 7 days over the last 2 years. Now, when he has a layoff and they don't play for a week, that game when he comes back, whether it's a following Thursday night or a Monday night or whatever, I think he's 2-7 or something. So, do you think that Trubisky has a day that we all start putting some questions back in our back pocket? Or do you think Trubisky will be able to rise to the occasion and be a very good player for the Bears today?
Well, I think that it will hinge a lot on what we've already been talking about here with the running game. Can they get that going? Because that'll make a big difference there for number 10. And I do think it's worth pointing out, when he missed time last year and he came back against the Rams, the Bears managed to win that game, and it was a big game at night, but he didn't play that well. And so I do think there are concerns there this week about what he's going to look like coming off the layoff. And I think they're fair questions. What's going to happen? I honestly don't know. He's been so up and down and so inconsistent that I really don't know what's going to happen. But I also want to say, Hamp, I think it was a great point that you brought up there at the beginning of the question about how important this game is. Because if you look at the landscape of the NFC right now, it is much tougher than the AFC. And the easiest road for the Bears to make the playoffs is to win the division. That's how you can get in, and then you don't have to worry about tiebreakers and things like that. But if it does come down to tiebreakers, if it does come down to the wild card, you can't lose this game. It's an NFC game against the Saints, and it's one where they don't have their starting quarterback, their starting running back, their starting tight end, and their number three wide receiver. You have to take advantage. This is a home game. You can't lose your second home game of the year, too. That would be another problem. So, to me, this is a must-win game, as must-win as it gets in the middle of October for the Bears this afternoon.
Okay, so we all know that Allen Robinson has been emerging as a bona fide star. Now, he will draw Marshawn Lattimore as his cover man all day, and Lattimore is one of the best. Will that be something that Trubisky automatically says, okay, I know that guy's not going to be an option. Now he skips a second or third read. Will that help him accelerate his progression?
It could. I mean, I know what Matt Nagy would say. It's just take whatever the defense is giving you. The problem is, it seems like number 10's had a problem finding out what the defense is giving him in that split-second moment where you have to make your decision and unleash the football. So, that's a great point you bring up. Lattimore versus Robinson is going to be fun to watch, but that's why another key player in this game to me, guys, is Anthony Miller, because Anthony Miller is another former second-round pick that needs to be more consistent for this football team. And I'll tell you what, I found it very interesting that it was revealed this week that he'd been playing with a harness on his shoulder and took that off in the middle of the game against the Raiders. Got a bad third down drop at the start of the second half. He cut that harness off. He ended up making that big play later in the game where it went up and over the defender. Now, he also had some dumb penalties and things like that that he needs to clean up. But if Robinson's getting held down by Lattimore today, other guys need to step up. Taylor Gabriel's back. Let's mention that. But Anthony Miller, to me, is the guy that can really turn into a better, you know, a consistent, good player for this team. That needs to start here today, because I think he's going to have opportunities to catch some football.
Obi, last thing for Adam.
Yeah, just, you know, real quickly here, we've been talking about this is a pivotal game. What is this, like the seventh week? And I'll tell you, what's coming down the road is going to be, it's going to be some rough water. I'll tell you something. We're talking about Trubisky showing up. This guy's showing up. That guy's showing up. All of them better show up today, right from the get-go. You guys on offense, whatever your job is, take care of business today. One guy is not going to pull it for you. You got 11 going on offense and 11 on defense, and never giving up. You got to do it. This is a very, very strong and pivotal game. We blow this game today. Watch out.
Adam will reach you after the game, WGNRadio.com. Follow you on Twitter during the game, at Adam Hogue. We'll talk to you next week, Hoagie.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game.
Adam Hogue out at Soldier Field. Middle schoolers want to change the name of a West Side Park. The alderman said he was on board, so why hasn't anything happened in 2.5 years? Monday on WGN TV News at 9. We'll come on back. There's a stat about Trubisky coming back from games where he was off for a while. Yes.
I just watched the Lions and the Vikings.
Yeah.
They just threw.
Down the field.
A 62-yard pass.
That happens in the NFL.
Hello!
720 WGN.
Let him go. Let him play football.
It's the Chevy Hampton B Show with Kaz. And it's brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN Radio.
720 WGN Special Hamp and OB pregame show, and we'd like to thank all our sponsors, the Muller Auto Group, PPG Paints, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers and Bartolini's for feeding us as well. The stat that I was talking about, last year, Trubisky misses 2 games with the right shoulder. This year, it's 2 games with the left shoulder, coming back today, throwing the bye week. Now, they were playing the Rams last year. That's Aaron Donald. You're talking about Ndamukong Suh, a better defense than what the Bears will face today. But he was 16 of 30, awful. 110 yards, awful. 3 interceptions, awful. Bears did win that game, though. They absolutely mauled the Rams physically 15-6. Akeem Hicks was huge in that game. They won't have him today. So whatever that's worth, when he was coming back off the rust, which you mentioned earlier, Hamp, he was not good. So hopefully he'll be better today, but that's the history.
And again, it can't be all about number 10.
You're right.
It's got to be about the other 10. And if that happens, and we are able to generate some runs, some running game, some, you know, control passing, and you know, it almost gets, you know, beyond redundant to say, oh, take what the defense gives you. You know, that's easy to say. But you have to create opportunities. The defense isn't just going to say, okay, we're not going to cover the underneath stuff. You know, you got to make them scared of the backside and keep the safeties off. Make sure the corners are, you know, not pressing you at the line of scrimmage. But see, the book on Trubisky is the kid can't make the second read by time, get up there, jam the receivers, whether it's a tight end. Well, yeah, well, that's the whole thing. If your first read is jammed at the line of scrimmage and he looks over there, then he panics, that's when the happy feet start. And we all know that part of the reason why he hasn't been very successful after the layoffs is at some point he has, you know, horrible fundamentals, and he's not a natural thrower. He's got a locked front leg, which creates problems with accuracy. So the rest of the guys, the other 10, have got to help number 10. If they do, we got a chance.
Well, I like to see the offense again. Now, I'm constantly, I've been ripping on this starting last year with Trubisky, and this year again, move that damn pocket, which they don't do. Give the defense some headaches. All you do is keep them in that pocket. The kid is herky-jerky back there. He can't find a second or third receiver. He goes to the first guy. If he can't find him, he looks to his little outlet pass. And then if that doesn't happen, then he'll run. That's not how you play football in the National Football League, folks.
Hey, we're going to play some sound come up at 2:30 about Trubisky and this other guy that they didn't draft, Deshaun Watson. I just got to play it. It was unbelievable. This 5.5 million people viewed something Watson said. I'm going to compare it to Trubisky.
Are you being negative?
No. Insurance companies use lizards, ostriches to make us laugh. What happened to having an honest, smart human being guide you? Check out JeffVook.com. Decades of experience nationwide is on your side. The Vook is actually in the building. Look at him.
The Vook! Yeah, and he's got a lizard in his pocket.
He's carrying the lizard around. News next, 720 WGN.
If you don't raise the bar, nobody's going to try to give you anything extra. You got to demand it.
Back to the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Right now on WGN Radio.
Hampton will be taking you up till 3 o'clock today. Blackhawks hockey tonight, so we will not have a post-game show for you. Hopefully, we'll be celebrating a Bears win, but we will be doing it in the comfort of our own home. All right, so Mitchell Trubisky coming back to play today. In his press conference this week, I thought it was worth playing a question he was asked about the challenges of coming back from an injury, the physical part of it, and also the mental part of it. Hang on one second there. Let me try that one more time. Here we go.
With that mindset and come out here and practice with the guys and fly around and just go out there and do my job. So it is a big part of the mental game, and you just got to prepare mentally to go out there and do your job and be in the right mindset to make plays for your team.
So he says mental. Can we do it one more time? Let me just do it one more time.
Frustrating, but you just go back to how I prepared mentally to go into that Washington game and try to get right back on with that mindset and come out here and practice with the guys and fly around and just go out there and do my job. So it is a big part of the mental game, and you just got to prepare mentally to go out there and do your job and be in the right mindset to make plays for your team.
Herky jerky.
Mental mindset 17 times in 18 seconds. How's that possible? I'm like listening to the guy talk, because you have to be smart to be a quarterback, right? That's part of it?
It comes in handy.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, and then there's this guy we've talked about it a million times, but it was underlined so well, the difference between the two. Here was a reporter talking to Deshaun Watson and trying to figure out the Texans' offense.
The coverage they're playing, is there anything you guys can do as an offense to manufacture more opportunities for you to try them downfield, or was that kind of the only two or three opportunities you had in the game?
I mean, you know what coverage they're playing?
Well, you said earlier.
Yeah, I'm just asking. I'm not.
No. I want to.
It's cover four. So what the safeties are doing, they're playing deep, and they're guarding number two. Corners sink, and they trap two. And so what they're doing is keeping everything in front. The linebackers are playing anything across. Kiki is playing the middle. He stops everything that crosses the middle. He jumps everything that. And the safeties are charging on number two. So if the safeties are playing low, then we can't take that. We have to hit double moves. Mm-hmm. We did the post because Reed stepped up on two with an out over the top. I didn't hit it. Same thing with Hop. In route, safety jumped up. He went vertical. I didn't hit it. That was the only two. After that, they played back. Mm-hmm. Cover two. Six, Buzz, which is safety. Reed comes in between Keekly, the outside linebacker, plays deep. I got to get rid of the ball.
That says it all.
I mean, he's...
That says it all.
He's able to recall individual plays from a game and tell you exactly what happened on different plays, what they were in. He didn't do it with any attitude either. He's just like, did you know? And he just explained. You would never hear that.
Okay, but guys, again... He's not here. I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on it, but I think your illustration is apropos that Mitchell Trubisky on his development curve is way down here at the bottom. He's not up there at the top. And guess what? The better and more developed he gets, the more he understands these nuances that obviously Deshaun Watson now has a grasp of. Then he'll become a better player. But OB, here's the thing. You know, he talks about, oh yeah, my mental stuff and I throw my, you know, I fly around and it's gobbledygook. And you know what? At some point, you gotta say, we'll never see cover four. You know why? They're protecting deep. We don't throw deep. He's incapable. So all these little, you know, basic defenses, you would think that he would be sick of seeing, and he'll always see them until he makes them play something else. That, to me, is the part about this that's almost heartbreaking.
Okay. Here's the top three young quarterbacks, okay? Well, excuse me. Top two, and then there's our guy. Mitch Trubisky. This is season three, okay? Up to now, he's had 30 starts, passed for 6,004 yards, 34 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. Deshaun Watson has 27 starts, three less, passed for 7,228 yards, 56 touchdowns, and 18 picks. The MVP of this past season, Patrick Mahomes, same year, 22 starts, 7,212 yards passing, 61 touchdowns, and 13 picks. That's all you need to know, folks.
What Hamp just said, though, is super interesting.
What makes you think Trubisky knows what the hell coverage four is?
I think it's interesting because I think most people who are listening right now, they don't know what cover four is. But what you just illustrated there, Hamp, is that cover four is for somebody that can actually throw the ball down the field, which is super interesting.
They're trying to take away all the deep routes. And against Carolina, they were down. They lost that game. And so he was trying to get back in it. So they're playing a deep, almost like a prevent. So the nuances of each defense has certain characteristics where there's going to be vulnerable spots, a hard word for me. But the bottom line is, This kid doesn't even understand the difference between some of the coverages, and you got to be able to walk to the line of scrimmage. First off, point out the middle linebacker, get the protection set, all the while understanding this is what the pre-snap read looks like. This means cover two, cover one, whatever it may be. He hasn't even gotten that far where he's comfortable identifying what the defenses are. That's a big problem.
Danny, he might have been a little more comfortable. Everybody might have been a little more comfortable if they would have taken advantage of the four exhibition games. It's the reason why you play him to get ready for the season. Amen. Again, we are a guy. He said every one of our players, they never got on the field and they watched. That's not how you learn. That's not how you play. The good Lord doesn't come down here and touch 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, and say, bang, you're ready to go, young folks. You just go out there and get them and handle business. It doesn't work that way.
Well, you also, before we got on the air today, Obi, you were making the point about Trubisky at Carolina. It's more than just the exhibition games. He played 13 games in college. Deshaun Watson's a four-year starter. Patrick, these guys played a lot.
Won a national championship.
Well, let me just tell you. I asked Deshaun Williams. I asked Mark. Mark's sitting there just before the show. I said, Mark, you know what Deshaun Williams is? He says, no. Well, Trubisky played 2 years behind him. He was the starting quarterback at North Carolina. He graduates, and Trubisky plays 1 year. One!
Yep, and that's the reason we have Shaheen, a tight end that played Division III, because, we think he could project to do this. And that's what they were expecting when they took Trubisky, when they did, in the draft. Hang all that on Ryan Pace, but strip it all away. Now we're back here today in a very, very pivotal game, a very meaningful game. Giant. I think it's the game of the year. You lose this, you become one of the bottom feeders, and then you got to answer questions until the cows come home. You win this game, you're not only back in it, the rest of the league understands, hey, it may have to, you know, the playoffs may have to go through Chicago in January. And so it changes everything. Now, Trubisky, this is, to me, if I was him, this would be the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, all the naysayers, all the people, the counting doubt and disparaging him. But here's the one thing. When I played the game, and I think you probably would attest to this, OB. When I got in the game, I wanted to know who the good guys were. Okay, in my position. It was Leroy Selman, Jack Youngblood. These were the great players. I wanted to be like them. I measured myself. I watched them, and then I watched myself on film. Am I as good? Can I play that well? Can I play better? This week, the quarterback coach, Dave Ragone, came out with some kind of ridiculous nonsense where he said, no, it's not important for Trubisky to compare himself to Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. No, that's the last thing we want to do. He has to be him, be you, do what he does. But see, folks, this is why we have such an issue with this kid. No, if we're going to go to the Super Bowl, not once, but being the ability, you know, and the race every year, we gotta have him be a great player. He has to be a great player. He has to be a Deshaun Watson. He has to be a Mahomes. But they're not even expecting him to compare himself and allowing him to do whatever he does, which is not very good at any time. So this, again, you know, Matt Nagy, I don't understand this BU nonsense. And I remember all the coaches that I ever played for, it was not be you, it was be a team. Come together, subjugate yourself. Don't try to be individual. Don't try to be, you know, a standout. Come to and conform together as a team. So all this psychobabble, again, I think it's doing this kid some irreversible harm, because here it is in his third year and he's going the wrong way.
Dan, he's still got him on a leash. Are you kidding me? He's not let this kid do anything. This guy is not a head coach in the National Football League.
All that being said, we want him to win today.
He wins, and then he can shut us up. This is a pivotal game. Listen, these aren't my words, my friend. These are Nagy's words, okay? These are his words, not mine.
When we come back here for our final segment, I want to talk about Kyle Long with you guys. Here's a guy who's facing perhaps the end of his career, And certainly the Bears are not going to be having Kyle Long come back here. But I'm curious, I want to hear when you guys sort of knew it was over and if you're seeing the same thing with Kyle Long. Because everybody's got to face it at some point, right? I mean, you can't play the game forever.
And you know what? Hey,
he hasn't been around that long.
Yeah, he's only played 8 games each of the last 3 seasons. This year, barely 5. So, you know, there's a point where it's just time to move on. But, you know, the one thing I want to say is our coach went to England. And he coached like Benny Hill last week. Let's hope that he figures out he's coach of the year from last year. Do something right this week.
There's the Benny Hill reference you've been waiting for all show long. Benny Hill right here, 720 WGN.
You got it.
Wrapping it up here. What are you pointing at, Hampo? Oh, it's Benny Hill?
Hey. Do we have the greatest producer of all time?
You gotta love Rick Deezer.
Yeah, I mean, I came out of left field with the Benny Hill reference, and he's got. But that's what it was. We can throw it on the coach, but remember, it was our defense. Yeah, we had a rough and the punter call, but our defense gave up a 97-yard touchdown pass at the end of the game in the fourth quarter that broke our back and beat us.
Where was Cleo Mack on that?
Yeah, he was on the sidelines sucking air at his 56 degrees. Really hot.
Big day for Khalil Mack now with Noah Keem Hicks. A lot on his shoulders today.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, again, Dan called it, I've called it, this is a key game. And it, just as it looks now, this is the key game. 7th week and at home. Again, I know I've said it before, but I'll tell you what. Bear players, coaches, whatever, the fans are behind you. They love you. My God, go out there and just play Chicago Bear football and take the game up front and whip them and put a hurt on them and get it done. It's enough with the talking, enough about Mitch Trubisky. I don't want to hear that guy's name anymore yet today, okay? Just get the hell out there and play football like you're supposed to. Play the damn game. Knock somebody down.
Well, we just saw Trubisky on the screen. His harness on the left shoulder is visible. You can see it. So that's not going to be easy for him, I wouldn't think. For a guy who has trouble with accuracy.
Then he should not be out there. If, in fact, what you just said is the truth, it's not going to be easy for him, so that means he's hampered a little bit, okay? No, you don't play him. You play Chase Daniel. You do not put that kid in that position.
Well, physically, obviously, they feel he's good enough to go, but if you're a defensive guy, right, you're going to try to target that shoulder?
Of course. Hey, come on. It's. Why would you want to play against, but here's the other part. They may say, keep him in the game, don't hit him, hold him until the whistle is blown. Don't throw him on the ground. We don't want him out of the game.
I'll tell you one thing. They want to keep him in the pocket. And I tell you what, they're keeping him in the pocket, and I think what they're going to do is blitz the hell out of Trubisky because he's got to be hampered by his movement, whether it's strong or weak side, whatever he's got to do. And I think I'm assuming he'll be hampered, okay? And I think that Saints know that, and I think they're going to go wide on the ends or the linebackers rushing, and I think they're going to blitz up the middle, my opinion.
Okay, here's some good news, and we're always looking for the silver lining in the cloud. A couple of mandates about having a successful season. Win the first game. I mean, that's what we always talk about. Win the opener. Well, we didn't last year. And we didn't this year. Now, last year, we lost the game before the bye. It was down in Miami. Remember, it was hot. Everybody's on the sidelines throwing up because they weren't in shape. Well, we didn't win this year, the game before the bye. So, in a way, these are two very big obstacles that last year they were able to overcome. Now, let's see if we're able to do the same thing. We were 3-2 at the bye last year, and we went on a run, went 12-4. Today, as important as a game as we've seen in a long time. We can't say it was more important than the playoff game or the opener against Green Bay, but where you are right now, moment in time, this is as big as this year will have.
Hey, the Fighting Illini yesterday beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin was, what, 6-0, rated 6th in the nation or something like that?
That's right.
Illinois homecoming, and they finally won a game at home. And kudos to the Fighting Illini. And guess what? Let's make it a double dip, Bears. Take care of the Saints today. Knock the hell out of them. Come home with a win.
That was a stunner. Go ILL. All of a sudden, beating Wisconsin home. Let me just ask you about the Kyle Long thing. This is a guy who came out of nowhere, He was a junior college player, gets himself to Oregon, gets himself in the first round, gets himself to the Pro Bowl, right? I mean, and then he was the leader in that locker room when the Bears were absolute garbage. 77 games, though, played in his career. 35 he's missed, and the rest of this season, add that on to it.
Yeah, he'll be done. And you know what? Hey, you cannot be a better team losing the best players. And at one time, he was one of the best players, if not the best, on the team. But that's a long time ago. He can't get in a base. You know, he's trying to block with his legs locked, and you can't, and he's just getting, you know, embarrassed. So there was a reason why he was put on IR. He's incapable of playing the way he used to.
Well, how hard was it for you to look in the mirror and be like, I can't be 99 anymore?
That's when you retire. You know, I was hooked. I'll never forget the moment. We're playing the Raiders my last year. I got hooked. I'd played 12 years. I never got hooked. Never, ever. That was a cardinal sin. Wisniewski, the big left guard, he hooked me. I remember I went to the sideline. Mongo looked at me and goes, what's the matter? I said, I'm done. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I just got hooked. First time in my life. I knew it was over. Kyle Long's got to know it's over. If you watch his film, you know, again, it wasn't good.
Well, what I don't know, Danny, if I totally agree with you on that, because in today's football, you know, we have 31 other teams out there, and this kid did play quality football at one time. Over the last 3 years, he's basically been hurt. There might be somebody that might take a run at him. And why would Kyle Long want to do that? Money. It's all about money. And if somebody wants to take him and bring him on his team next year for the year 2020 and sign him to some kind of a contract where something's guaranteed or whatever, I'll guarantee you he'll jump at it. His agent, they'll jump at it. He might say, no, he's done. He's through. He'll walk away. I don't buy it. I think somebody will pick him up here either this season or in the off season, but I don't think it's done. And the main reason why, too much money out there, Dan.
Obi, when did you know for yourself that you couldn't do it anymore? Or do you still think you could go out there and do it right now?
Well, I'll tell you, actually, well, sometimes I think I could. But anyways, I'd give one blow, I'll guarantee you that. When I played, after you know, it was in the 11th year, and you know, both my shoulders were gone, and my back and my right knee, you know, and it was time that all the thing like Dan talked about, all the things that you could do with ease, and it was fun playing, and you could get it done and feel good about yourself, and it just comes. Because when your legs can't move and your back doesn't let you go down and you have shoulders, you can't take blows, it gets a little tough. So I'm pretty sure that's what Dan probably had a few hours too that can attributed to walking away. Your body will tell you when to go.
Yeah. There's only, what, 13 knee surgeries?
Yeah. 15.
15. 15.
Yeah. But, okay, back to today.
We got 1 minute, Hampo. What's the prediction?
Okay. Bears win today, folks, and I'll tell you what. They were embarrassed in London, and they know it because they didn't control the line of scrimmage. To do that, you can't let the opposition on first down. Last game against the Raiders, on first down, the Raiders ran 32 plays for 170 yards. You can't win like that. They have got to control the line of scrimmage, and that means control first down. Number two, positive reads, positive plays on offense. No, plays where we make mistakes, penalties, things like that. But the last thing is, on special teams, the good plays will come. We just can't do stupid stuff like running to the kicker. Bears win. It'll be a great one.
Defense, play the way you're playing. Don't let up. Offense, get that kid out of the pocket. Use the entire field, stronger weak side. Go downfield. Make things happen. Be positive.
Thanks for listening. Bears 17, Saints 13. We'll see you next week, 720 WGN.